I think in general, just navigating your early 20s, early mid 20s. I mean, there's sticky moments every day. So
this is a sticky journey is what you're saying.
Yeah, it is a sticky journey. Okay. I mean, really, and I'm giving you the highlights and the good parts, but I mean, there have been a lot of tears, whether it's frustration or, you know, just complete defeat. I've had so many things thrown at me that, you know, made me question, well, am I even doing the right thing? Is this something that I can support myself on? I just think in general, you know, your mid, early 20s, they say it's like the most exciting time of your life. And while there is a lot of freedom in your 20s, you know, you're learning who you are, who you want to be, where you want to live. Mm-hmm. There's just so much unknown.
Sure.
And so much comparison that you're doing too. And right. I think that's just by nature of being a human. You know, you see someone else do something amazing. You're like, wow, that's so amazing for them. Like, should I be doing more? Mm-hmm.
How do you find joy in life's difficult moments? Life is full of challenges, both big and small. Come explore some sticky moments with the women of Reed Memorial and be inspired to find, keep, and share joy in life's journey. On behalf of Reed Memorial, join me, Joy Maple, for our podcast study and helpful resource page to encourage you to find joy in life's sticky moments. Welcome to Finding Joy in Life's Sticky Moments. If you're just joining us for the first time, I want to let you know that the women of Reed have decided to share their stories, the sticky moments in life, and how God has moved in their story through them and how they were able to find joy in life's journey. We are so glad that you're with us today. And if you want to extend this experience further, you can check into our resource page and our devotional page found on our website at readchurchaugusta.org. You can see ones that go with every podcast and find out tips and things that the women of Reed have used to find joy in life's sticky moments. Today, I have one of my favorite folks ever. She is just such a joy to be with, and she's so much fun, and her journey is so great. I am here with Mary Rosenzweig. Mary, I'm so glad that you agreed to come and be a part of this podcast today. Thanks for coming.
Of course. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, not everybody knows you like I know you. I think I've known Mary since she was knee-high to a grasshopper, so to speak. But tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, where what you're doing currently doing. Just kind of give us a little background.
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in Augusta, grew up at Reed. And I went to the University of Georgia, studied entertainment.
Go Dogs.
Yeah, go Dogs. Studied entertainment and media. So a lot of people in my major, they wanted to go to LA and be a movie maker, you know, cinematography, editor, that sort of thing. But I was more interested in just how media affects people, whether it's visually or, you know, you watch a movie and it makes you cry. Like, you know, just that kind of stuff was really interesting to me. So learning how to do it behind the scenes was kind of why I chose that major.
Well, let me ask you something about that major. When you were young and in high school or even earlier, I don't know when you first thought about this, but what made you think, like, did you have one of those defining moments where you're like, oh, that is super cool. I want to learn more about that.
Not one that I can particularly think of. It was more of I went to my
The school counselor?
Yeah, the advisor, I guess. And they laid out, because I originally wanted to do marketing in the business school. And then he said, well, you're going to have to take all of these classes. It was like accounting and finance. I was like, this sounds awful. So I changed my major and found that the journalism school was just a better fit for me because, you know, I've always been a creative person. And up until the past 2 years, I've recently discovered I'm also an artistic person. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I made that switch. And then right out of college, I graduated in 2018. And then I worked for Turner Sports on the March Madness team because I love sports.
Wow. And that's exciting.
Yeah. And I thought I wanted to work in sports. But it turns out I really just like watching sports. And when you, and when you have
you're
to
like
work.
Not so much work in it.
Right. When you work, you can't watch it with your friends or go out and do stuff. So, and also just the big corporate company, I just felt very small. And I felt like I just felt like I was lacking purpose.
It didn't feel like home to you.
Yeah, it didn't. Mm-hmm. And it was a great experience and I learned a lot. And obviously the people that worked there are amazing and I was surrounded by amazing talent. But just for me personally, I wasn't fulfilled at all. So then I moved to California.
Mm-hmm. Every young girl dreams of going to California to find fame and fortune.
Yes, which was a very scary thing. But I think at the time I was just so desperate for change and just desperate for new surroundings. You know, growing up in Georgia, then going to UGA where there's a ton of people I know there too. And then I was living in Atlanta where everyone from Georgia goes as well.
Yeah.
I just kind of felt like I was a hamster on a wheel and I wanted to try something different while I'm young and, you know, not really tied down. So I called up my mom and dad and I was like, hey, I got a job in California and I'm going to go. They're like, okay.
Have fun.
Yeah. But it was so great. We did a cross-country trip together and we still talk about it today. Just the three of us and all my stuff in the car. And I mean, it's great. You know, mom's from Augusta and dad, he's from Louisiana. But like beyond Texas, like none of us had ventured that far. And it was just so
you were
fun.
Out in foreign lands. Yeah. You went west. Yes. Go west, young man.
I'm telling you, like the color commentary along the way was just top notch. So anyways, I was in California for a little bit.
Where in California? Be a little more specific.
I was in Southern California, Newport Beach.
Very nice. Yes. Okay.
It was quite posh.
Yes. I mean, so were you like, I've just made it.
Yes. Uh-huh. But I mean, I had no money either. So I'm like, you know, you see a Maserati drive down the road. I'm like, what the heck?
You're like, okay. And I'm eating ramen. That is not fair.
Right. I'm like making minimum wage, but it's fine. We're here. We're having a good time. I mean, that's the closest I've ever been to the beach.
Oh, wow.
Just living that close to the beach. It was amazing.
But now, did you have roommates? Did you?
Okay, yes. So I met two girls and they ended up being my best friends and they were just very like-minded. They went to a small private Christian college down in San Diego. So they're also from Orange County. So they just had a really solid group of friends that just wrapped around me, which was so helpful during that time when you move somewhere and you don't know anybody.
Soul. And yeah. You need to get your core group to hang out with. And you suddenly had it.
Yeah.
Instantly. More than you ever dreamed, I bet.
Know. I feel like God really was looking out for me in that way, you know, because I wouldn't have stayed out there as long as I did, too, if I hadn't met them.
Did they work with you? Is that how you met them?
No, I actually met them on Bumble BFF.
Oh, okay. Bumble BFF. I gotta learn stuff.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I mean, okay.
Well, so Bumble is a dating app, so you can look, you know, for people you want to go on dates with. But they also have another part of the app where it's kind of like online dating, but for friends. So you can find people in your area who have similar interests, like, you know, they like to go hiking a lot, or they love trash TV, they love The Bachelor. You know, they just you can find people who have similar interest.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. It's
learned
really
something
great.
New today,
yeah.
Everybody. Wow. That's cool.
Yeah. So I met them on there and they're just so amazing. And we still keep in touch and they're married now. So anyways, it's very special and near and dear to my heart. Now I have people that live there all the time. I can just stay with them too. I don't have to pay.
Smart girl. You know? I like the way you think.
Yeah. It's all about networking. So, I was working at a small print shop out there. So when I was working at Turner, I noticed that my favorite meetings I was in were always about design. And then I've always loved stationery. I think I get it from my mom. You know, she's like,
she's a true Southern woman.
She really is.
She likes her stationery.
Oh, she does, girl. So I took a job at, it's like a high-end printing shop. So, sure. And I didn't have any experience, but I was 20, how old was I? I think I was 23. And, you know, just like scrapping for anything that excited me at the time, you know? So I took the plunge. I knew I wasn't going to be making any money there. And so then I had to start doing stuff on the side. So I stole my dad's iPad. He was so gracious to lend it to me. And I stole his iPad and I started illustrating people. So you'd send me a picture of you and your daughter or, you know, someone and their boyfriend, whoever. And
somebody and their dog.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So then I'd illustrate them. And then my friend was like, oh my gosh, you need to draw Kirby Smart, the head coach for Georgia.
Right.
I was like, oh my gosh, that's great. I love Kirby. I'll do that. So I drew him, and then she said, you should put that on a game day button and sell it. And I was like, you think people would buy it? I don't know. Like, it's just a simple illustration. So I bought some buttons, and I put in a Facebook group that I was selling them, and they sold, like, immediately.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so... But this is, you're in California. Do they even know who Kirby is? I mean,
no.
No. So you had to ship? Is that what you're, I mean, or were they local people just buying?
So here's the sweet, sweet part of all this, starting this whole journey out. I was doing all of the drawing and facilitating with boutiques and, you know, because as people started buying more, they're like, oh my gosh, you need to do Auburn, you need to do LSU, you need to do Georgia Tech. So I'm slowly cranking out more and more artwork. But my sister, Anna, was at home, and she was making the buttons for me. So I didn't touch a single button.
Wow. This became a family endeavor.
Yes,
okay,
yeah.
The side hustle.
And
all
then
right.
My mom, too. I mean, they were both boots on the ground. I couldn't have done it without them because I also had a full-time job. I was also, you know, 2,000 miles away. So.
All right, so segue back before you get into your button extravaganza. What were you feeling in this print job besides, you know, okay, I'm learning. I mean, did you enjoy it? Was it filling you? Did you realize, oh, you're like, oh, I found it. Here I am in California. And this side hustle was just kind of to augment income? Or what, were you still sort of drifting and kind of going, okay?
So I was definitely way happier at this job than I was
at the first one.
At the first one. Because it was a super small company. There was like 11 people there. So I got to wear a lot of hats. I was thrown in the fire. You know, if I was out for a day sick or something, like, my absence was felt because, you know, people have to pick up the slack and cover my jobs. And that was very fulfilling to me, you know, that I felt very needed. Whereas in my last job, I kind of felt like if I was gone for a few days, like, eh.
No one cares.
Yeah. But not in a bad way. I mean, it's just such a big company. And
sure.
I think, you know, I was like a post-grad intern. So
you liked, what I think I'm hearing is that you liked being a bigger fish in a smaller pond.
Yes.
Than being a small fish in a really big pond.
Yes. And so, I mean, it was really great experience. I mean, it was, I knew when I took the job, I wasn't going to be there for like 5 years. It was very much like a job to learn and be there for a short amount of time and then use those skills and continue building. So, once I realized that California is very, very expensive, then I was like, okay, I need to do something to start making money on the side. And so then that's when the illustrating came in to play. And then...
So you had the boots on the ground, you had mom and sister being
yes,
your backup,
yeah.
And how did that production happen? So you would email them or send them, and then they would just print them out? And
yep, so I would... You know, tell them what the order is. Because I started selling wholesale to boutiques, too. So I got in with the LSU market. Sorry, I feel like I'm just really giving you the nitty-gritty details.
No, but, I love it. I love it.
So 2019, this is all happening in 2019. That's when LSU was starting to get really, really good. Mm-hmm. And they'd been so terrible for so long. And I can say that as, like, growing up an LSU fan. They were terrible.
Because you have the ties, yeah.
Yes. And so... Basically, I mean, I was waking up at 6 a.m., 7 a.m. my time in California, because that's 9 a.m. here.
Sure.
And, you know, I would draw in the morning or I would contact the boutiques, get their orders, you know, make sure Anna knew what she needed to do, make sure mom knew she needed to go to UPS and this is the address to send it to. So, I mean, it was a whole orchestration and it just had overnight success. I was like dumbfounded by it.
Okay, well, Mary, you are on this podcast because we are to talk about, you know, finding joy in life's sticky moments. I'm telling you, it sounds to me like everything was smooth sailing. I don't know if there could be a sticky moment in this story.
Oh, joy.
What? You think you have one?
Yes. Well, I mean, I've had a fair share of sticky moments that I could talk about, but I think in general, just navigating your early 20s, early mid-20s, I mean, there's sticky moments every day. So
this is a sticky journey is what you're saying.
Yeah, it is a sticky journey. Okay. I mean, really, and I'm giving you the highlights and the good parts, but I mean, there have been a lot of tears, whether it's frustration or, you know, just complete defeat. If I get like a letter in the mail saying, you know, stop production immediately, this is an infringement. You know, I've had so many things thrown at me that, you know, made me question, well, am I even doing the right thing? Is this something that I can support myself on? Mm-hmm. Do I need to get a job and
a real job?
Yeah. All my friends are getting promoted. Like they're all going on these trips. I can't afford anything. So I just think in general, you know, your mid early 20s, they say it's like the most exciting time of your life. And while there is a lot of freedom in your 20s, you know, you're learning who you are, who you want to be, where you want to live. Mm-hmm. There's just so much unknown.
Sure.
And so much comparison that you're doing too. And right. I think that's just by nature of being a human. You know, you see someone else do something amazing. You're like, wow, that's so amazing for them. Like, should I be doing more?
Mm-hmm. That comparison can be rotten.
Yeah.
To the self-esteem, to your outlook on life, everything.
Right.
So I hear what you're saying, that this is a really trying time. So in this journey, when you're in, you know, you've got the side hustle going because you need to make income. I mean, was there a moment where you're like, this is it? Or were you like, okay, I can't get up at 6 every morning and then go do my day job. And then, I mean, whew, that's a lot of work. And I know you're young, girl, but I mean, you're going to get old quick if that's the, you know.
Yeah, well, introduced COVID. So,
okay.
I mean, that just totally
rocked everybody's world.
Any momentum I had, I mean, it just fell flat. Because literally, LSU won the national championship in 2020. January, I had my best month ever. I was like, oh my gosh, like I have money now. Let's go shopping.
And then I can actually live here now.
Yeah, exactly. And then COVID. Mm. So yeah, that was rough. But you know, I moved home for, and also it's California. California was totally shut down.
I was going to say, so how did you pivot out of that moment where COVID and like everybody's not doing anything and you're way across the country, right, away from family and close friends?
Yeah. And I didn't know if like the world was ending, if this was the apocalypse. So I'm like, so I fly home. I was back in Augusta with my parents for 6 weeks and I was working remote for my California job. He was still doing some printing and stuff, but I mean, my hours were cut. I was like, dang. Like, yeah. I mean, thankfully I had a place to go and I could be with my mom and dad at their house. You know, I know other people aren't as fortunate to have that. So I'm very aware that I was lucky for that. But at the same time, I'm like, how am I going to make this work? You know, like if there's no football, there's no money for me.
Right. There's no sports. There's no, yeah.
So I made the decision that I would go back to California. I think I flew back end of April. So I was there and I was going to live out my lease. I think it was going to be up in probably September. Okay. And I said, I think I would really be disappointed in myself if I didn't ride it out and be in California for at least a year, because I moved out there in June. I was like, I want to at least make it to a year of me living there. And so I went back and I ended up quitting my job in California.
Wow.
And I had like 6 weeks where I was just soaking in the sun.
She didn't eat.
I went to the beach every day.
Oh, wow.
I got in the ocean every day.
So life really slowed down, but it sounds like you had some really beautiful moments though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Well, because I also knew that I wanted to try and take this business full time. I didn't know what COVID was going to look like, but I said, you know, I have nothing to lose, really. I can just live at home again. And if it doesn't work out, I can just get a job elsewhere. You know, just had to make it very black and white. This isn't the end of the world. I'm not going to be homeless. I'm not, you know,
going to
get my car repossessed or anything, you know? So I was just in California and I was really just investing time in myself and it
Getting
was great.
To know yourself. Yeah, I know.
I spent all my money, but looking back, it's like, the best thing that I ever did.
It was money well spent, right?
Yeah, it was. I had fish burritos every day. I mean, I was like,
who doesn't love a fish burrito? Yeah, come exactly. on now. So in those moments on the beach, what were you thinking to yourself? Were you just like, okay, this is great, and the party's going to end soon? Or were you kind of like, what am I really going to do? Were you having these panicky moments at all? I mean, or were you kind of like, okay. I mean, you did have that security blanket of mom and dad back in Augusta, which I think is great. And you're right, not everybody has that. So, but were you like, oh, I'll feel so defeated going home? Or were you like, okay, nope, this is going to be a fresh start? What were you thinking on the beach while you're eating those burritos, soaking in the sun?
Well, I think it, as I was mentioning earlier, like these sticky moments, they come in waves throughout the day, you know, and a sticky moment, I'm really meaning like a thought of like doubt. Mm-hmm. I would say that those are pretty sticky moments in your brain, you know, but yeah, I mean, I was on the beach and I was like, dang, you know, I'm like out here, my wings are spread, I'm flying, I'm independent, I'm in California, nobody knows me here. My parents don't know where I'm going. My friends don't know where I'm going. You know, there's a lot of like kind of, woo, I got this in that.
Impressive right. that you could do that. You know, right. not everybody can do that.
Yeah, finding some independence. But then at the same time, like, I'm going to have to go home and live at home and have my wings just clipped mm-hmm. and, you know not how long. And I love my parents. I adore them. We get along great. And it's, they're wonderful. And I do enjoy living at home. But at the same time, like, I'm going to be 24, almost 25, living at home with my parents. Like, it's just not anything I predicted for myself.
No, and were you like, God, what have you, you were supposed to have these great plans for me, but here I am, we have COVID, and I'm going home.
Right. No, I feel like I just got the rug ripped out from underneath me, and then just trying to pick up the pieces along the way. And then, unfortunately, last football season was just blech.
Yeah,
you know?
Mediocre.
Games were canceled. People had COVID. People just weren't even going to games, so they weren't wearing buttons. And so then I had to start doing a bunch of other jobs. So
back up one second. You come home after this wonderful time on the beach. You come home and move back in with mom and dad. And was there any pressure to like, okay, Mary, you better find something because, you know, the side gig of yours is not going to be cutting it. It's not going to put bread and butter on the table.
No, I mean, my parents, they're very, very, very supportive of me. And I'm also not the type of person to just like sit and just wait for something to happen. Like the busier I am, the better.
Sure.
I mean, mom and dad say all the time, like they just get glimpses of me. I'm like, I'm in the house for a second and then I'm right back out. And, you know, I'm just going and doing
sure.
almost to a fault. I need to learn how to say no to things sometimes. But yeah, I think once December rolled around, so that was 2 months of me being home and sales just, I'm like, I can't,
weren't there.
I can't live off that. I have to get something going. So I started helping my cousin in Buckhead, Atlanta. She does professional home organizing, kind of like the Home Edit.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, that's a cool avenue.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. So, you know, I used this time to just try a bunch of things because I knew that I enjoyed making buttons and doing the artwork, but you know, I had to figure out something else that I could try and make money with. So I started helping her out, and I was driving up to Atlanta once a week, staying for like 2 to 3 days, back and forth, doing dog sitting, cat sitting, house sitting,
any kind of sitting,
anything that somebody needed. I would, you know, jump at the bit and say, "Yep, I'm there." And a lot of burnout came with that.
Sure.
And then questioning, well, is this really what I'm supposed to be doing?
Yeah, like how long can we do this babysitting, right. dog sitting gigs and all that? Yeah.
And I'm like, well, maybe just this next year football will be back. But there's just so many unknowns. And meanwhile, while all this is happening, my friends, like I said, they're like getting promoted. They're getting engaged. It just seems like everybody's moving on with their life. And I'm up and down I-20 to go clean out someone's basement.
Yeah, and you're treading water. You feel like, okay, am I going to swim anytime soon?
Right, and I was definitely busy, mm-hmm. but I felt like I wasn't progressing. I wasn't regressing, but I wasn't making progress either.
It seems also like it sounds like you weren't sure of your purpose at that time.
Yeah.
You know, okay, so I thought I was going to promote football and do it through these buttons and... Yeah, that's not happening. So where do I go now? I mean, that's a lot of questioning, I'm sure.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I personally, I'm my own hardest critic.
And aren't we all?
I know. And then sometimes I'd be thinking, well, I hope people don't think I'm just, you know, living at home because my business is failing or that, you know, and I think it's Jane Howington who says this that mom has told me as well. She says, I'm not much, but I'm all I think about.
That's right. That is a good Jane-ism.
And I'm telling you, I like live and die by that because sometimes I am just in a spiral of like, oh my gosh, what are people thinking? And then I'm like, I'm the only one thinking about it.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah. And it's a great thing. And I love when Jane does that because it totally puts you in perspective like, you know, no one's worrying about me like I think they are, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, sometimes those moments too can give you, you know, the energy or the focus to kind of move forward. Mm-hmm. So you're here, you're like, I'm driving down the road again. And what happens? You're like, you're just being busy, but where does the turn shift, you know? And what did you do? Did you go and find something different or did you decide to take your business in a different way? Or
it was end of June, and I was driving down I-20. I remember I called my aunt, Mary, named my namesake.
Perfectly.
But she lives in Charlotte. Her and my Uncle Jim, they live in Charlotte. And I knew, I'm like, I love Augusta, but I think I need a change of scenery because I feel like I said, I'm not progressing. And I think I need a catalyst to kind of snap me into something different.
Some change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I called my Aunt Mary. I was like, hey, remember when you told me I could come live in your basement anytime I wanted?
And she was like, yes. And I've already got somebody there. Yeah. You're out. No, I'm just kidding.
She's like, yeah, come on in August. I'm like, okay, that's what I'm doing. I'm going to Charlotte in August and I'm going to try and ride out this football season. And I'm going to try and go full time with this job. 100% of my energy is dedicated to buttons, no distractions, no side gigs. This is just 100% diving in.
Wow. That was a big commitment. Mm-hmm. And were you just like on your knees going, God, please make this successful?
Yes. Well, I mean, like I said, there's just so much unknown. And I ask myself this question even right now, thinking, How can I make a solid decision if I don't know what I want?
Good question. So you had to come up with that answer, didn't you?
Right. But I still don't know what I want.
Ah, okay. So how do you go forward then?
It's a great question. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm also a firm believer in everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. Timing is perfect, whether I know it or not. And so just having to get comfortable with the unknown and knowing that the cards will fall just how it's supposed to.
Trusting that God has got a plan for your life and he's orchestrating everything. You just have to be open and receptive and ready.
Yeah.
Also for whatever life's going to happen.
Yeah. But I'm like resisting it a lot. So I'm like, I don't need to know the details. Just like a thumbs up or a thumbs down is all I need. Just like, let me know.
Give me a sign.
I'm going to be good. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, really in the past 3 months, my business has exploded, which is, it's so exciting. And I'm so proud of what I've created. But at the same time, I'm like kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. I'm like, yeah, okay,
this can't be real.
Right. And like, what happens once football's over? Am I just going to have no sales at all? You know, so I just feel like I can't ever find calm and peace.
Well, you keep talking about football, but I seem to know something about baseball that that is special to your story. So tell us a little bit about that. So you're in Charlotte in August. Things start picking up. Now what happens?
So the Braves were, if y'all didn't know, they were pretty good this year.
They were okay. Yeah, I think so.
So once they announced that they were going to the World Series, I said, all right, it's button time.
Buttons, baby.
Yeah. So I made some buttons and I started selling them on my website individually, but then also I have a few wholesale customers like in Noonan and Griffin and then also in Augusta too. Swank carries my buttons, which
there we go. Swank, a little shout out for them. Very good. Okay. Little local.
Yeah.
Local support.
Exactly. So I sent some buttons to one of my customers in Noonan, and she's friends with one of the wives. And so she gifted some buttons to them for when they played in the World Series. So then, or when they were in the playoffs. So then once they went to the World Series and then they won, she said, hey, we want to get buttons for the parade for the wives and girlfriends to wear. And I'm like, oh my God.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I sent her, I overnighted like 60 or something buttons from Charlotte to like Kennesaw. And, then as I'm watching the parade on TV, I'm like, oh my gosh, some of the players are wearing my buttons.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I was like crying all day. I'm like, oh my gosh. I remember as they're walking onto the field, like down the red carpet or whatever, they're introducing everyone. Me and my Uncle Jim were in the living room watching. And he said, hey, you made those buttons in my basement. I was like, yeah. You're famous awesome. By association.
Yes. Yeah. So everybody's like needing your autograph right now.
Yes. Uh-huh. I know. No, I'm kidding. But it is. It's just crazy.
How that happens. Yeah. So how has that changed or catapulted or made your focus different?
I think, like I said before, I'm my biggest critic, and I do downplay my skills a lot. I need to get better about that. You know, I'm just like, oh,
a little self-promotion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just like, oh, well, it's nothing, you know, I just illustrate or whatever, but like what I do is cool and unique.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to be better about, you know, knowing that and not being arrogant or, you know what I mean?
It's a gift that you've been given and you're using it, which is a great thing. And that's what we are all called to do, is to use the gifts that God has given us. And it's neat how you found it in kind of this roundabout, kind of curvy way, you know, but yet you're in line. And I always love to say that when things are supposed to happen, when they're God's will, it just kind of unfolds in a way that you can't really explain. And although you've done a nice job of telling us how this journey has come about, there's so many details that you can't really even explain how it all just happens. And so I think it's really cool. But where do you go now, and how does this journey unfold for you in the future?
Well, I'd like to keep growing.
Absolutely.
I think being the sole person in charge of my fate financially and, you know, with my business, you know, I've just completely built it up by myself. You know, I didn't have to take a loan out. I didn't have to, you know, it's just coming from my iPad. And then I ordered the parts off Amazon, and now here we are. This business. So there's so much more I want to do, and hopefully it can keep growing and keep expanding out of the Southeast and into more sports.
But so are you still based in Charlotte in the basement?
Yeah, some kind of back and forth between here and Augusta. So next on my list is to get a more permanent place that I want to be. But again, I don't know where I want to be. So how can I make a decision that feels long term? You know, whether I buy a house and have my home office run out of it, or if I get a year long lease somewhere and then I'm running my business out there. I don't know how to make that decision right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've been praying about it and no answers have come up yet. So
you're like, okay, God, either I'm clueless and I'm not listening or what, but no, that you're just, it hasn't. It
right, because then I'm thinking, well, you know, I have friends who are thinking about moving to Chicago. I'm like, I could probably live in Chicago. I feel like if I visit a city just for a week, like I went to Baton Rouge earlier in October and I came back, I'm like, I think I'd love to live in Baton Rouge. Wow. And then I was in Athens for a game day and I was like, I think I'd love to come back to Athens. I just feel like I'm easily picturing myself in all these different
areas.
You're
a wanderer, Mary. That's it.
Yeah.
You are just a wanderer. The world is small for you. It is really small. It's you know, because you could go anywhere. And honestly, you've done your business pretty much from anywhere, location, and you've made it work. You know, so you seem to focus mainly on football, but are you branching out into other sport arenas? Obviously, the baseball And what about golf and things
like that? Yeah, I would love to, because I also do birthdays or bachelorette parties. Bachelorette parties have been really big.
Oh, they love the bride-to-be thing and the bridesmaid. Like I'm the bridesmaid.
Exactly. Or instead of getting the matching t-shirts, they get the buttons so then they can all look cute.
Oh, I'd much rather do that and wear my own clothes than, you know what I mean, when I was young and in weddings. But
So and then they turn into a cute keepsake, too, to kind of remind you of the fun. But, yeah, just trying to figure out. I mean, there's so many reasons to wear a button.
And so, okay, so let's talk a little bit about, have you felt like you have plateaued in any way with like your knowledge and your skill set? Or do you feel like there's so much more that you're ready to try? Or how are you going to even like kind of be prepared for the next step, whatever that is that God has prepared for you?
That's a great question. I would love to try out new products, whether it's cups. I've actually recently started doing Mardi Gras beads for more specifically for Ole Miss because they're playing in the Sugar Bowl. So I said I can just take my butt images and put it on a Mardi Gras necklace, and they've been flying off the shelves. So the people really like that. But as a whole, I mean, like I said, I was in the journalism school, so I probably should have majored in marketing because then I'd know more about accounting and finance and strategy. I don't have a marketing plan. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm faking it until I make it.
Right, right.
And I seem to be making it. So just trying to get advice from anybody that I know who's starting their business. And it's just the more and more people I talk to, I just don't really think anybody knows what they're doing. And that's okay.
Well, you know, a lot of people, I think, find themselves into situations that they just never dreamed of or didn't think they had the skills for. And then, you know, it just kind of shows them that they have this ability. But I think, too, about your story, what I love hearing is just that you're kind of like, I'm just trusting. I'm just going to be confident that this journey is going to take me or bring people into my life, whether that's, you know, someone who does know marketing strategy or someone who does know something else that you can spin off into and you can branch and kind of unite in vision. But I really think, too, that, you know, just what did you do in this journey that sounds so phenomenal to kind of keep you okay, keep you on the right track, keep you inspired? You know, I think sometimes we can get discouraged or you've had a lot of transition is hard for a lot of people. So how did you kind of stay kind of okay in all this messiness or stickiness of life that you've had in this 20 years that you've lived? Right. You know,
yeah, well, I mean, to be totally transparent, there are a lot of days where I'm just not okay and I'm just like, I feel like my brain's going a million miles an hour. I'm like pretty sure my mom thinks I'm
about to lose it any second.
I know. And she's amazing. And she really knows how to calm me down. And I'm very grateful that we have a friendship along with, you know,
a mother-daughter relationship.
Right, exactly. Yep. Like she's one of my biggest and most prized consultants. And I think just being able to talk, I'm a talker. So
oral processor, right. Very good.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, you know, talking to my friends and just hearing that they feel the same way, even if, you know, they're making six figures and getting promoted, they're still, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like, okay, great.
So we don't know what we're doing together, you know,
kind of thing. Right. Well, I just feel like everybody in their own way is just trying to navigate the waters and figure out who you are and who you want to be and what you bring to the table. And I think just being able to take a step back and then, you know, unplug for a little bit has been really good for me. You know, I'll go on a long walk or, you know, I'll just go to Chick-fil-A and get a sweet tea. It doesn't take
just
much.
Just hang out by yourself.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you do a couple things, that you have a great network of people that you talk to, particularly your parents and your mother. So that sounding board's good, but also some introspection and some like thinking like you did on the beach. It sounds like as much as it was fun and beautiful and you enjoyed that moment, you had some time to yourself to kind of go, where do I go now? What do I want? And so, you know, those conversations even that we think that we're having with ourselves, but we're really having them with God and kind of saying, hey, what is this plan for us? And then knowing that you're not alone, after you have those conversations and you've spent some time by yourself, you realize, hey, no one really has it all figured out. So I'm okay, yeah. which is so great. So if someone were following behind you, particularly that college student that hasn't graduated yet, and they're thinking about going out into the workforce, and they're not sure that they love what they're doing or that they're going to love what they're doing, what bit of advice would you give them as they handle this beginning steps into the sticky world of life, of career, and of jobs?
I would say my first piece of advice is you're most likely not going to love your first job out of college, and that's okay. Also, everything is temporary if you want it to be. If you don't like what you're doing, you can
make a change.
You can make a change. And I just think you need to pay attention to the things you do like. And I think the rest will follow.
And when you're doing your buttons and your graphics and things like that, how does it feel? Like, how would you describe it to somebody who goes, so how do you know this is what you wanted to do, Mary? Like, how do you actually feel when you're in the middle of like, making something for the World Series, or Masters Golf Tournament, or my favorite football team, or, you know, whoever?
I think usually what I say is like, wow, I've really outdone myself again.
Pat myself on the back. Yeah. I'm so good. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I get a lot of inspiration from, you know, the people who, you know, ask me to do things too. You know, I don't know all the details of what Clemson fans say or anything. So I do rely a lot on the people who follow me or the fans to let me know this is something that would be great on a button. So, and then I'm on Pinterest and, gotcha. You know, I just, like I said earlier, I never really picture myself as an artistic person ever. Definitely creative. I think I'm witty and I'm quick on the draw for sure. But it's just so special knowing this is something that's just me.
Right, right.
You know, I don't have like investors or someone like, you know, it's just
telling you what to do, right, or, like, or putting what, you in a different direction.
Right. What I want to do, I put out there. And there's so much freedom in that. Yeah. And it's really special.
Do you ever get where you're like, oh, I have no clue. I have no clue what I want to do for this particular, you know, when someone like says, oh, I want you to do this for this party or whatever. Do you ever just go, it's not coming?
Yeah.
You know, how does that happen? And how do you get through those moments?
Yeah, I think it's pretty common from what I've learned recently for artists to be like self-doubting of their work too. And I think sometimes when I send people something, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you can just really, like, be honest. If you hate it, you won't hurt my feelings.
But you totally will hurt my feelings. Yeah, but it's okay.
Right. But like, I've spent hours on it. So like, yeah. Be nice. But I think, you know, it's all about just, like I said, faking it till you're making it. Mm. And, you know, usually it turns out okay. And I haven't had a job where they're like, oh my gosh, this is not at all what we expected. They're usually happy customers. And
giving yourself a little grace, I think, yes. Is the thing. You know, like, you may not think it's your best work, but we are looking at it through very different eyes. Right. When we see something that we can't create because maybe we're not like you, we're not super creative and graphically, you know, with those graphic abilities. I'm challenged, stick figures for me, but you know what I mean. So I think just kind of saying, okay, you know, and I love, even though it is self-deprecating, but I love that you go, hey, if you don't like it, let me know. You know, I'm mm-hmm. open to trying something different, but this is what I thought.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I do try to be really collaborative too with people. You know, I'll send them an update. Hey, is this going in the general direction that you think? And they'll be like, well, I kind of wanted it this way. So then I'm not, you know, 2 hours in and they're like, wait, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. So I've learned the hard way with that one.
Sure.
But like I said, I mean, it's so many tidbits and new tricks and skills that I'm learning along the way. You know, ways to get faster at what I'm doing, and also things that I know I just should absolutely say no to. I can't do it right now with the time that I have. So, you know, also like my right arm is just like really
button maker,
really tired of cranking. So I'm like, mm-hmm. I need to find some helpers.
Help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a great problem to have, but it's still a problem.
Right.
You know?
You need to have some hourly employees that right. When you have big gigs, you need to kind of produce. Yeah.
So going to be planning for the next season, hopefully.
So what I hear is that you are staying put in Charlotte for right now, but you're flexible about where the wind may take you.
Yeah.
And that your business is doing well and you're enjoying it. And there may be opportunities for growth or change in the near future.
Yes. Hopefully.
So this is an awesome, awesome story. What is one positive thing that you would say that you've learned either about yourself or just about life in these 20-something years that you've enjoyed, and especially in the last few where you've kind of heard your heart sing and doing something you love? What is one positive that you would take away and that you would share with others and say, hey, you know, this is something really cool?
I would say it's all about the community that you surround yourself with and that you engage with every day that changes everything for me personally. And that's, you know, with my inner circle of friends, it's with my family relationships. You know, this business wouldn't have started if I didn't have my sister and my mom's ability to help me. And then as I'm trying to navigate being a small business owner and a young female entrepreneur, you know, it's all about your community and surrounding yourself with positive energy and, you know, people who are cheering you on and are wanting you to succeed. And I've had so many people just send the nicest messages to me who don't know me. I have so many internet friends now. It's great. But really, I have a small and mighty community, and without them, I don't think I would have had as much success without them. I mean, truly.
So your community has been a big part of your journey.
Mm-hmm.
So you have found joy in this journey for sure. Would you say that finding joy is a choice or just something, a natural byproduct of situations?
I think you can definitely choose joy. And I hope that everyone is choosing joy, because it's pretty dark if you're not.
That's right.
But I really do think it's all about the mindset. And like I said, if you can make little decisions along the way, it doesn't have to be this huge, you know, I need to revamp my life and I'm, you know, going on a new diet. I'm starting to work out, you know, it's not like a cold turkey thing. And I think there's a bunch of things you can do little by little that can set you up to continue to choose joy.
So I've got one kind of final question to ask you. How has your faith changed or been enhanced or challenged during this great journey that you've had?
So I'll be honest and admit that outside of Reed Memorial, I haven't found a church home like when I was in California, mostly because I'm used to the very traditional, and that is like non-existent in California when I was out there.
Sure.
And then since I've been home, been going to Reed. But I mean, truth be told, even sometimes when I'm at Reed, I'm like, well, I don't really want to have to tell everybody what I'm doing because I don't know what I'm doing. And I know that they're not, you know, trying to say like, well, is Mary failing? You know, that's not, people are just generally interested in like hearing my story and, you know, encouraging me. But I think I'm in my own head just being like, well, I'm not ready to answer these questions because I don't know how long I'm going to be here. I don't know if my business is going to make it. And in the past 3 months, I've had clarity. I'm like, okay, we're good. Mm-hmm. We're making it. But that doesn't mean that I've ever stopped believing. I think, you know, ideally I would like to be more active in the church, and that is something that I plan on doing soon. But I just feel like there's been so many avenues of my life that have been changing, and, you know, my buckets have been filled up differently. Recently, my work bucket is like overflowing.
Absolutely.
I have no social life, and I'm okay with that. But like mentally and emotionally, my bucket is full. I got that down, you know. I feel good physically. I got that down. So just trying to figure out how to level everything out. And I think throughout all of this, it's like my faith, it just has to remain solid, knowing that it's going to work out. And this is part of the plan. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to know, and that's okay. So just fully surrendering to it and just riding the wave, I guess.
Absolutely. Well, I've heard a lot in your story, and I, you know, about trusting. And I think that you've done a fabulous job in trusting. And I think sometimes when you're rooted in your faith and you're committed, that it's easier to trust maybe than others, because I know a lot of people want to hold on tight and they're like, no, 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 no. But it seems like you have your hands wide open and you're like, hey, whatever experience you have for me, whether it's here, whether it's in California, whether it's in a basement, wherever it is, I'm game. And who would have thought that that girl who was at Georgia graduation, at the University of Georgia graduating, would be on this phenomenal journey? And the funny thing, when you mentioned coming home to read and feeling rooted there, I have to laugh because we are like your extended family and we all want to know what you're doing, but we also want you to feel safe to say, I don't really know what I'm doing right now. I'm trying this thing and let's hope it works out. And so it is kind of like God has given you this community to say, hey, you can always come home here and this is your base and you've done a great job about that. And to just be really receptive to all the people you've met. I love how you're like, yeah, I met my friends on Bumble and I had instant BFFs. Now, if that doesn't bring you joy, I don't know what does. But your journey certainly brings me joy and I wish you all the best in the future. And I know that God has great plans for you. And thank you so much for coming and spending some time with us on Finding Joy in Life's Sticky Moments.
Yes, absolutely. I'm so excited to be here and flattered you even considered me to be.
Oh, you are so awesome. Well, thanks, Mary. Take care. In this new year, we hope that you are engaging in a resolution to become more physically fit and active, and we have that opportunity for you. Join us the first weekend in February for Read on the Run. It's our 10th annual Read on the Run, where we share a great day with a lot of folks for a great cause. This year, we're benefiting University Healthcare Foundation in honor of Michelle Rigsby. It's a great day for a family. Run it, walk it, crawl it, just stand and cheer people on. But come join us for the 10th annual Read on the Run at Reed Memorial as we venture through Somerville for a great day. Join us every second and fourth Wednesday of the month on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and our website, readchurchaugusta.org.